This is HMM correspondent Alexis Goldsmith, and I'm speaking with Bill Kish, who is an activist and an organizer with the Stop Cricket Valley effort. For our listeners that don't know, Cricket Valley Energy Center is a massive fracked gas energy center in Dover, New York, that is set to go online this year. And there's been a campaign and efforts by those who live in that community to call on Governor Cuomo to shut down the power plant. Bill, can you tell us, give us an update on what's going on the ground there in Dover?
Well, the power plant says that they're in final testing and that they're actually selling power to the grid. We don't know how many hours a day they're in operation, but we do see smoke and steam coming out of the plant. We also know that they're behind schedule. Unfortunately, we don't know the details.
And has the governor given any statement about the power plant lately?
That's one of the disappointing things for us, is that Governor Cuomo has never made any statement about the plant. We've called on him many times. We had a rally last fall in Poughkeepsie called Earth to Cuomo, where we invited him to come to speak to us, as well as many speakers who spoke to him. I don't know if he was listening because he didn't show up, but we've never had a dialogue with the governor or any response to our many petitions and letters.
So can you tell our listeners some of the issues with the Energy Center and where it's located that you've brought to the governor's attention?
Sure. The Cricket Valley Energy Center is located in a valley, which is located directly adjacent to New York State's largest freshwater wetland. It's called the Great Swamp. And it is home to a number of threatened and endangered species. And it's also a community where people live, make their homes, and farmers grow crops. And there are a growing number of organic farms that have been built in that area to replace the dairy farms that have gone out of business in the past 50 years or so. So it's an area that has a great amount of potential. It has a great natural environment, and it has a lot of people who are living there who don't have any power over the pollution that this plant is going to be dumping on them. So given all of that, you know, it's a bad location for a bad project. It's a project that New York State really never needed. We're not short on electricity, even though some people will say so. And we're burning fracked natural gas there, producing large amounts of carbon dioxide and other CO2 equivalents, and also pollutants that can directly injure the people who live there and the other natural habitats that are there.
So you had, well, not you, but the activists who live there, the concerned residents who live around the plant, had planned a rally for March 16th, which was this past Monday, but that was canceled because of this coronavirus pandemic. Can you talk about what the rally was meant to do and how you guys improvised in light of the fact that you couldn't gather in mass in public?
Sure. It was a shock for us, like it was for everybody else, to see how quickly things moved. We had been planning for months to bring our message to Albany and try to get the governor's attention. We had a number of art builds where the protesters and local residents got together to build things that represented the local area. So, for example, one group built a representation of the Great Swamp and the different animals that live there. Another group built a representation of the school system, which is right near the plant. And we wanted to set that up at the Capitol, and along with our chanting and singing and other activities that we would have done, tried to get the governor to notice us and also accept the petition that we had created in order to deliver our message. Unfortunately, you know, as you said, the pandemic came upon us and we had to change gears quickly. So we took what we had, and that was the people who had signed up to come to Albany, the people who were supporting us, and we turned it around. We turned it into a virtual action where we focused primarily on social media. We built a bunch of different messages based on the work that we'd already done and passed that around to everybody who was going to come to Albany and asked them to share that out as much as possible. And we got some great results. One of the things that really I was amazed by was the person who had created the songs for the event put together this beautiful video of herself and other singers chanting the song that she created and shared that out on social media, and that got a huge amount of attention. So I thought that was a beautiful thing.
So, some obviously creative solutions to this issue. In the news lately, there's been the point made that with people staying home, not commuting, commerce being shut down, that pollution has gone down in some areas. In other ways, though, it's making it difficult to organize en masse and continue the climate activist movement that had gained momentum in 2019. So how do you see this fight continuing? What's your comment on that?
Obviously, things are going to be different in every phase of life while we're going through the pandemic and while we're in a state of emergency. So I'll say two things. First of all, maybe I'll say more than two things. First of all, the work that we're doing isn't stopping. I've been on the phone and video conferencing all day with other activists in order to figure out our next steps, to develop new materials. In a way, some of the things that were distractions for us, traveling to get to meetings and things like that, aren't really distractions any longer. So we're learning how to organize and how to work without that face-to-face interaction. The first thing that you brought up, though, the fact that the air may be cleaner right now due to this pandemic, that's not a permanent situation, and that's not going to be a saving grace. It's really counterproductive because the economy is slowing down. People are losing their jobs, and there's no clear leadership on how that's going to be resolved. And that means that, yes, probably, you know, as long as we're in a recession, the energy use will be reduced. But the same pressures that have always been there are still going to be there. The pressure to make a buck, to figure out how to profit off fossil fuels. And they're just getting pent up. So as soon as this emergency is over, all of that stuff is going to come out full force. And I'm a little bit afraid that the Trump administration is going to use that as an excuse to shut down even more environmental regulations. So we really have to be aware that this is a problem, but also an opportunity for us. People are learning that things can change and you can still survive. And maybe sometimes you need to look at the bigger picture. That's what I think people are doing right now in terms of their health. But the global climate crisis and the dangers from pollution from power plants like Cricket Valley are also health crises. They're just moving a little bit slower. So hopefully people will realize, wait a minute, I can do things a little bit differently. It's not impossible to solve the climate emergency, just like I think people are realizing that the corona emergency is something that we can solve if we all work together.
Do you have any plans for getting the governor's attention in a virtual way? And you mentioned a petition earlier. What's in that petition?
Well, the petition asks the governor to order his Department of Environmental Conservation to perform a new study on the risks of the plant. The original study was done in 2011. And as you know, a tremendous amount of science has been accomplished since 2011, both in terms of the risks of pollution like nitrous oxide and ozone, as well as these very, very fine particulates called PM2.5. Those things can make the air in the immediate region of the power plant pretty much like smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. And nobody realized that back in 2011. Also, that since 2011, the urgency of the climate crisis has increased dramatically to the point where the governor himself signed the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act that makes New York one of the leaders in trying to halt its climate pollution. But for some reason, the governor hasn't recognized the connection between this power plant and those things. So what we're trying to do is call the attention of the governor's constituents to this problem so that they can put pressure along with us on the governor. So I would urge everybody who's listening who has these concerns to please call the governor's office. Right now, it's a little hard to get through, but I have a feeling that that's going to lighten up within the next week or two. And just leave a message saying that you're opposed to the Cricket Valley power plant and that you'd like the governor to ask the Department of Environmental Conservation to start a new study. That's all we're asking, because I'm pretty sure that once the study is completed, that there won't be any choice but to shut the plant down.
So I just want to ask, has anybody done any FOI requests to see if there's been resistance to the study on the other end?
You mean from the owners of the plant?
Right.
Well, we know that there has been resistance from the companies that own Cricket Valley Energy. There's a lawsuit going on right now, which is has been filed by a local attorney and a very prominent civil rights attorney to try to get this environmental impact study forced through. And we've seen the comments that both the plant's owners and the Department of Environmental Conservation have come back with in their defense. And I have to say those arguments are ridiculous. They basically say there's no harm. There's no pollutants that will be present when this plant is in operation that aren't already present. They don't bother to mention the fact that there'll just be hundreds of times more of those pollutants. So they're just trying to prevent additional hard looks from the scientific community in order to continue to do business as usual and make a profit off this fracked gas to the detriment of our community.
So, Bill, thank you so much for joining us today. Bill Kish of StopCricketValley.org. How can our listeners get in touch with you and learn more about Cricket Valley?
Well, probably the easiest place to go is a one-stop location for all the most up-to-date information is the website StopCricketValley.org. And that's all one word, no spaces, no hyphens. And on there, you can find contact information if you're interested in joining us or helping us. You can find information about the plant and the lawsuit. And you can also find out how to contact Governor Cuomo's office so that you can ask him how to ask him to help stop this plant.